Hello, and welcome to the KMXT Weekly Wrap, where we go over this week's news from Alaska's Emerald Isle. I'm your host, Catherine Irving. On this week's recap, a hatchery in Kodiak is embarking on a pilot project to rehabilitate king salmon.
We don't want to take a dismal approach. We're doing this for a reason. If we didn't believe it would work, we wouldn't be doing it.
More about that story later, but first...
Support for KMXT comes from the Kodiak Area Native Association's Substance Use Treatment Team. Talk with your kids about drugs and tobacco. No matter how young children are, talking with them is one of the best things you can do to keep them drug and tobacco free. Learn more at kodiakhealthcare.org or 907-486-7380.
First up, Kodiak's police chief has thrown his name into the ring to be the next city manager. He is one of now 19 applicants being considered by the city council for the job. KMXT's Davis Hovey has more.
This is at least the third time in the last 2 years the city has started the hiring process for a permanent city manager. The list of applicants this time around includes a former resident who worked at the Kodiak Baptist Mission for 8 summers, a former mayor of the city of Fairbanks, and now the police chief for the Kodiak Police Department. Tim Putney officially sent his application to city staff on May 4th, according to city documents. Putney, who is an alumni of Kodiak High School, has worked for the police department for more than 2 decades and has been police chief for 8 of those years. He told KMXT via email that the city manager job, quote, feels like the next logical step in my career with the city, end quote. However, Putney is currently ineligible for the city manager job because of where he lives on the island. He told KMXT he does not live within city limits, which is where city code requires the city manager to reside. The city council put a proposition on the ballot in October of 2024 asking city voters to expand the residency requirements for the city manager to within 12 road miles of city limits, which would include areas like Bell's Flats and neighborhoods near Menasha. But that was voted down. The council is once again considering a charter amendment to city manager residency requirements that would be put to voters during this fall's election, but the wording has not been finalized yet. Putney says if he is not selected for the city manager job, then he will continue in his role leading the Kodiak Police Department. And for transparency, KMXT employee Terry Haynes is also the Kodiak City Mayor, who presides over the city council. As KMXT's morning host, Haynes makes editorial decisions about what airs in local newscasts, but he did not edit or review this story before it was aired. Reporting in Kodiak, I'm Davis Hovey.
Next up, marine heat waves have become increasingly commonplace in Alaska since 2014. And according to oceanographers, a series of different factors could make this summer especially warm. As KMXT reports, that would be bad news for marine ecosystems, fisheries, and coastal communities. Marine heat waves can wreak all sorts of havoc in Alaska. Last year, a marine heat wave in the North Pacific Ocean fueled Typhoon Halong, which devastated Alaskan communities. This summer, there could be an extra hiccup. A strong El Niño event is likely, according to the World Meteorological Organization, which can make the effects of a heat wave even worse. El Niño events happen as a result of slower trade winds along the equator, which slows down the upwelling of cold water from deep in the ocean and causes overall warmer water conditions. Here's Alaska Fisheries Science Center Director Bob Foy speaking about it during a commercial fisheries trade show in Kodiak last month.
We're expecting a massive El Niño this year, and it is supposed to be larger than usual. It's going to make its way to Alaska. We'll probably see effects of it this summer.
Marine heat waves happen when the temperature of the ocean is 4 to 5 degrees higher than the baseline average for that area. According to research from the University of Alaska Fairbanks, temperatures in the Gulf of Alaska have been generally trending upwards over the past 50 years. But marine heat waves across the Pacific have hit even higher temperatures and have become more frequent since the mid-2010s.
Recent ones have elevated temperatures up to 8 degrees Fahrenheit over normal.
Rick Steiner is a former University of Alaska professor and current marine conservation biologist with his consulting business called Oasis Earth. He says that the combination of warming and increasing marine heat waves is worrying oceanographers.
There's a fear now in the physical oceanographic community that all of these ocean temperature elevation phenomena will eventually combine into a permanently warmer ocean system. So the shorter-term impacts will become permanent.
He says that because the ocean is normally so stable in temperature, even 1 degree of difference can have big impacts, especially on the cold-tolerant species that live in Alaska, like Pacific cod and snow crab. According to NOAA data, there has been a marine heat wave impacting the west coast of the lower 48 since the end of last year, and there's been one along the Aleutian Islands at the same time. Combined, Steiner says the El Niño and marine heat wave could create very dangerous conditions in Alaska waters in the coming months.
Unfortunately, every one of these marine ocean heat phenomena amplifies each other. No one can predict with any degree of certainty that all of that will happen this summer in Alaska, but it's a possibility, and I believe looking at the trends and trajectories over the last few months, it's a probability.
The blob, which was a massive warming event that decimated sea life during the mid-2010s, also happened during a combined El Niño event and marine heat wave. Steiner says it's important that Alaskans keep an eye out for unusual things that are typically caused by marine heat waves, like dead seabirds or fish along the shore and emaciated marine mammals, and report any sightings to Fish and Game or NOAA. Reporting in Kodiak, I'm Catherine Irving. Next up, one of Kodiak's four licenses that allow restaurants to sell beer and wine is up for grabs, and only one local restaurant applied with the state to get it. KMXT's Davis Hovey reports.
In the name of economic development, both of Kodiak's municipalities have been trying for nearly 2 years to free up state licenses that allow restaurants to serve beer and wine. The city and borough even requested the state increase the number of licenses available. Every effort hit a dead end. Now, one of those coveted licenses is back on the table. The second floor restaurant, which closed prior to 2024, was not able to renew its license last year. Earlier this year, the downtown breakfast and lunch eatery Nuniak was the only business to apply for the license, according to the State Alcohol and Marijuana Control Office. During the Borough Assembly's most recent meeting on May 7th, the Assembly unanimously decided to protest Nuniak's application. Assembly member Bo Whiteside made the motion and says if Nuniak fixes an American Disabilities Act code violation, then the Borough Assembly could withdraw its objection.
We do have an ADA compliance issue that seems minor in nature.
According to the City of Kodiak's building official, the entrance ramp to Nuniak is not ADA compliant. Melissa Burns, the owner of Nuniak, told KMXT via email that construction on the entrance ramp will begin later this month. However, city staff say Nuniak's building permit to do the work from last year has expired. The City Council also voted to protest Nuniak's license application, subject to rescission, during its meeting on April 23rd. Otherwise, Assemblymember Whiteside says he supports the license going to Nuniak.
There's clearly overwhelming support for this from their neighbors. I think it'd be great to have another license in our community. They're a fantastic asset to our downtown tourism and locals here alike. So hopefully if this small discrepancy can be addressed in a timely manner, the objection will be withdrawn.
Burns is slated to appear before the Borough Assembly on May 21st for an informal hearing on her license application. She told KMXT that serving beer and wine has been part of her business plan since she opened Nuniak in 2022. The State Alcoholic Beverage Control Board could make the final decision on Nuniak's license at its next meeting this summer. And for transparency, Borough Mayor Jared Griffin is also the general manager at KMXT. Per KMXT's policy, he does not have any editorial influence over news stories, and he did not review this story before it was aired. Reporting in Kodiak, I'm Davis Hovey.
Next up, for the second time in recent months, one of the four licenses for restaurants to serve beer and wine in Kodiak has become available. The state's Alcohol and Marijuana Control Office, or AMCO, notified Kodiak's municipalities on Thursday that it's taking applications for a local restaurant or eating place license. It was previously held by Sizzler Burger and Peking Restaurant, which has been closed for several years. According to Alex Vrabeck, a spokesperson for AMCO, the license expired on March 5th. Vrabeck says the application process for it opened only after a noticing requirement was satisfied and various regulatory reviews were completed. She says the application period closes 30 days after AMCO receives the first application for the license based on state regulations. This is the second of Kodiak's four total restaurant or eating place licenses to become available in recent months. The first was held by a second floor restaurant. It expired before the end of 2025. There was only one application for that license from the Nuniak restaurant. Longtime Kodiak restaurateur Suk C. Young owns the two restaurants with the expired licenses. Both Second Floor and Sizzler Burger / Peking restaurants were inactive for several years. KMXT attempted to reach Young for comment via email and phone, but received no response. After the application period closes for this latest license, the Kodiak City Council and Kodiak Island Borough Assembly will have opportunities to review and protest any applicants. The State Alcoholic Beverage Control Board makes the final decision on who gets these restaurant or eating place licenses. Last up, hatcheries in Alaska are usually in the business of providing stable fish harvests for commercial, sport, and subsistence fishers alike. But as KMXT reports, a hatchery in Kodiak is about to start a new venture, the rehabilitation of a crashing Chinook salmon run on the southwest side of the island. At the turn of the century, the Karlik River, which runs by the village of Karlik, was booming with king salmon, which are also called Chinook, and people traveled from all over the world to catch them. Tyler Pollum is a Kodiak area sport fish biologist with the Alaska Department of Fish and Game.
A lot of folks still remember they called it the Mighty Karlik River in the early 2000s. It was so popular that there was a limited use during the king salmon season. You had to get a permit to go down there.
The population has since tanked, and catch and keep sport fishing for kings has been closed on the river since 2007. Subsistence fishing for kings was banned the year after. But the Karlik's luck might soon change. A project that will use Kodiak hatcheries to rehabilitate the Karlik River Chinook salmon run has officially gotten a green light after almost 10 years of planning. It will be the first project of its kind in the state. Fish and Game Commissioner Doug Vincent Lang sent an official approval letter to the Kodiak Regional Aquaculture Association, which operates both Kodiak hatcheries, earlier this month. Chinook salmon across the state are struggling, and the Karlik Kings are no exception. The run has not consistently met its escapement goal for the last two decades. Last year, only 93 Chinook returned to the river. The year before, it was just 76. Kyle Wolver is the research manager with the Kodiak Regional Aquaculture Association. He says the low number of Karlik Kings is the reason the river is the guinea pig for this project.
It's time to do something. And with the such small returns that we're seeing on the river, we need to make it an immediate, because they may not be there next year at all.
The Aquaculture Association's plan is to collect eggs from the returning Karlik Chinook and bring the eggs back to Pillar Creek Hatchery, which is closer to town. They'll raise them there until they are smolt before returning them back to the river and repeat the process over the next few years. Wolver says the plan differs from regular hatchery operations in two big ways. One, they plan to spawn the Karlik salmon in the wild and release only the offspring of those wild-spawned fish. Two, they're doing it for the sake of rehabilitating the wild king run rather than to boost fish harvest. Scientists are pretty sure that the Karlik King's decline has to do with the warming river. Chinook salmon usually return 5 years after they're born. Pollum says the conditions in the river were unusually hot and dry about 5 years before the last bad runs, which made it harder for salmon to spawn and fry to survive. But he says the salmon returning this year were born in a cooler and wetter summer.
While we don't expect to have a lot of king salmon, the hope is that we have something significantly more than 76 or 93. There's a short window because the returns from these low returns these last several years will be coming back.
The project isn't going to be without its challenges. The Karlik's remote location makes it difficult to get equipment out there, and chartering flights to the river is expensive. And Wolver says they don't know how the river might change in the next few years. But he's hopeful that their project will work.
We don't want to take a dismal approach. We're doing this for a reason. If we didn't believe it would work, we wouldn't be doing it.
Wolver hopes that the project could have broader impacts, too. Other Chinook populations, like those in the Yukon and Kuskokwim rivers, are facing different threats than the Karlik run. But if the hatchery's gambit is successful, Wolver says it could help create a model for Chinook populations across Alaska. Pollum says sport fishers shouldn't bank on fishing the Karlik anytime soon, but with luck, he says fishermen could one day get another chance at catching a Karlik king. Reporting in Kodiak, I'm Catherine Irving.
If you or someone you know is having thoughts of suicide or experiencing a mental health or substance use crisis, 988 provides connection to free, confidential support. There is hope. The Lifeline works. For 24/7 confidential support, just call, text, or chat 988. This message is brought to you by the Kodiak Area Native Association.
If you enjoy this podcast, make sure to follow us on the KMXT app. It's free to download and features all of our local news and programming, including every episode of the Weekly Wrap. And that's it for this week's edition of the KMXT Weekly Wrap. Again, I'm your host, Catherine Irving. We'll be back next week. Thanks for tuning in.